Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you as you make your travel plans for the summer, remember johnnydollarair.com. johnnydollarair.com is a Priceline affiliate, so you get all the benefits of going through Priceline, such as naming your own price on hotels, rental cars, airline tickets, or even more, or choosing from great published fares. But part of the purchase price goes to support the great detectives of old time radio you enjoy at no additional cost to you. So when making your travel plans, remember johnnydollarair.com first. Well, now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Today's episode of Johnny Dollar does begin a bit abruptly. The end is, or the beginning is, cut off, so we don't get to hear Johnny answering the phone. But other than that, the episode's pretty well complete. The original air date is May the 22nd, 1960. And this one is The Man Who Waits Matter.
It might pay to take another crack at those diamonds along about now.
It said. You mean you got some kind of a lead on them?
No, I'm afraid not. But I just got hold of some information on Rocky Harris.
Yeah?
That, well, I told you after his probation was over, he disappeared.
Yeah, you told me.
But now, in view of this new information, plus the fact that you probably know him and his habits better than anyone else, and since Rocky is the only one who knows what he did with those diamonds...
No, hold everything, Ted. I'm on my way down to see you.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Eastern Liability and Trust Company, New York City office. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Man Who Waits matter. Sure, I and I alone could take the credit for Rocky Harrison's trip to Sing Sing over 7 years ago. But the fact I'd not been able to recover the Olney diamonds really stuck in my craw. So what if I was still fairly new in the business at the time? There was no excuse. Okay, then. Expense account item 1395, a taxi to the station and train fare to New York. I walked over from Grand Central to Ted Besom's office at 500 Fifth Avenue.
You know, I thought the mention of Rocky Harrison would bring you here in a hurry. Sit down, Johnny.
Yeah, sure, thanks.
Use a little drink?
No, thanks.
Cigarette?
No, just tell me what you know about Rocky and why you think I might be able to get on the track of those jewels again.
Well, during his trial, Rocky played it smart. He knew you'd pinned a robbery on him, so in order to draw a light sentence, he admitted everything.
Except what he did with those diamonds.
Well, apparently he and his lawyer managed to convince the jury...
Oh, that cock and bull story about his having had them stolen from him, that's a lot of hogwash.
You know it, and I know it.
Rocky was far too smart for anything like that, and too dangerous. And if that servant there in the Olney household who caught him blasting that wall safe, if that servant fell down the staircase accidentally, I'll eat my shirt. Rocky killed him, Ted. I'm sure of it. Same as he tried to kill me.
The fact remains he wasn't held for murder. The jury believed his tale about losing the diamonds, and he got away with a short term.
All right, now let's...
During his 2 years probation, he behaved like an angel. Got himself a job, worked hard, lived modestly... Saved his money, and he was a big disappointment to the police who hoped he might lead him to the stone.
But, of course, he didn't.
Right. And I'm afraid by now even the cops believe his story about what happened to him.
Yeah, well, I don't.
Anyhow, probation over, he dropped out of sight.
Yes, sir, you said over the phone.
The cops apparently figured he'd moved somewhere else and breathed a sigh of relief.
But you figured otherwise, Ted?
I guess I think the same way you do, Johnny. Probably because of my work in narcotics before I got into the insurance business.
Yeah, well.
And sometimes we'd hunt for years all over the country for some character, only to find he was right underfoot all the time. Couldn't see him for falling over him, as the saying goes.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, anyhow, I figured that instead of making himself conspicuous in some small town, the best place for a man like that to get lost, the best place in the world, would be the biggest place in the world. Right here in New York.
I can't argue with you, so?
So when I got wind that Rocky disappeared, well, you know as well as I do, Johnny, that most of these cases aren't solved by any Sherlock Holmes kind of scientific deduction.
No, hardly.
Sir, they're solved on information. One good stool pigeon is worth all the clues in the world, right?
Well...
So when I found out he disappeared, I got in touch with one of my paid informants from the old days. An old character by the name of Soder.
Soder. Mm-hmm. Soder. Don't think I ever heard of him.
No, Whiskey Soder, they call him. I told him I'd pay him well if he'd locate Rocky Harrison for me.
You've heard from Soder?
He called me this morning. Told me that he's seen Rocky here in town, just as I thought he would.
Where?
Well, he wouldn't say over the phone, so I told him I'd send you down to see him. Here, Johnny, I'll scribble his address down for you.
Yeah, do that.
Cheap rooming house down near the Brooklyn Bridge. There you are.
Good, good. Okay, Tom, I'll go see him.
Just a minute, Johnny.
Yeah?
Soder made one thing clear. I don't know just how or why. I guess the why is obvious enough.
Yeah?
But apparently, Rocky has somehow changed his appearance so much that even his own mother wouldn't know him.
But Soder recognized him.
Yeah. And one other thing, Johnny.
Yeah, what's that?
I'm sure you know Rocky well enough to be careful.
Sure.
Yeah.
Watch your step. All right, so what if there was a little risk involved? Here was my chance to make up for having done only half a job some 7 years ago. Also, I figured I knew enough about Rocky to be well prepared for almost anything he might try. The main thing was to find out what he'd done with the Olney diamonds, and of course get my hands on them. Expense account item 2, $1.70 for a cab to Whiskey Soda's address. It was the kind of place I'm sure the City Planning Commission will be glad to tear down. The word manager was scrawled across the door in the hallway marked with the number 1. And as for the manager...
Yeah, what do you want? My rooms are all filled up. Well, now, what's a gent like you doing around here?
I'm looking for a man named Soder.
Huh? That whiskey's smelling old. You'll find him down the hall in number... Say, he's getting real popular today.
Well, now, what do you mean by that?
You're the second gent's been here to see him.
Oh? Who was the first?
Well, I didn't get a good look at him, but I heard him go on back towards...
Which is Soder's room? What's the number?
Number 7 down the hall.
Okay, thanks.
Didn't see the man leave, though. Maybe he's still in there with... Now, who left that window open there at the end of the hall?
All right, number 7.
Maybe I better close it.
Are you sure that Soder didn't leave?
Sure, I'm sure.
Well, then come on, let me have your key. Come on, come on.
Key to his room? Now, just a minute.
Okay, don't bother.
Well, I have just a minute, you. Who do you think you are, busting down this button? Oh.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Somebody shot him. Right through the side of the head.
Smoking more now, but enjoying it less.
Have a real cigarette. Have a Camel.
So good.
Have a Camel cigarette.
So rich.
Have a real cigarette. Have a Camel.
So mild.
Have a Camel cigarette.
And here's the reason why.
Best tobacco makes the best smoker.
Have a Camel cigarette.
You can say that again.
Smoking more. more these days, but enjoying it less, then change to Camels, the best-tasting cigarette of all.
Have a Camel!
Start to really enjoy smoking again. Now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on The Man Who Waits Matter.
The side of his head, right in front of his left ear.
That's right.
But I didn't hear any shot. I've been up front in my room all afternoon.
Because whoever did it used this pillow to muffle the sound.
One of my best pillars, too. Look here. Look what it done to it.
The man who was here before, what did he look like?
Huh? Well, I only looked out of my room in time to see him coming in here. I didn't get a look at his face.
You said he was a gentleman, a gent.
Yeah, but I didn't really... I think he had gray hair.
What about his height and build?
Well, I don't know. I was up front.
Now, how old was he?
Look, I told you, mister.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay, here. There's a fire spot for your trouble. And for calling the police. Sergeant Randy Singer at the 18th.
Police?
And my name is Johnny Dollar.
Dollar?
That's right.
The one that's on the radio?
You call the police. Tell them I'll contact them later. Rocky Harrison had changed his appearance once before, 7 years ago. He'd never known how I'd got on his trail. The only one who did was Randy Singer at the 18th Precinct. But I'd found him by using the same corny trick that he had used. Maybe that trick might work again, if he'd returned to his old haunts. All right, then, item three, a buck and a quarter at the nearest drugstore for some goop to plaster down my hair. Item four, a dollar for some black hair dye. Item five, 78 cents for a jug of peroxide. Getting rid of the tan I usually have took time with a lot of work. But it gave me a few days to raise a small mustache. I dyed that black also. Item six, 20 bucks for some clothing, including a couple of aprons. In some of these joints, you have to furnish your own. Then, item seven, $31 for a pair of thick glasses that I could see through all right, but that gave me a headache. But it was a waste of time that got me down. Working there four solid nights, hoping nobody gets suspicious of me. Working where and why and the reason for the silly getup? Well, you figure it out.
Okay, there you are, Willie. One old-fashioned, one double Gibson.
Sure, thanks, Joey.
And there's the ticket on him.
The what?
Yeah, right there, right in front of you.
Oh, sure.
Now, what's the matter with you? Can't you see? Why don't you get them glasses changed?
Oh, they're okay, Joey.
Oh, yeah, sure they are. Ain't you gonna take your drink to the table?
Huh? Oh, that's right.
Willie, I've been tending bar here at the Purple Hat since the place opened up. But you are the punchiest waiter I ever seen.
Here you are, gents. An old-fashioned and a double Gibson.
Well, you took long enough to get them.
I'm sorry, mister.
The other way around. The double Gibson's mine.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, here's the prosperity, Barney. Yeah.
So, would you just like to order dinner now?
No, later.
Yes, sir. I'll wait then.
Yeah, you do that. All right now, Rocky.
Yes.
Waiter.
Yes, sir.
Go get yourself a drink. It's on me.
Well, sir, I'm afraid the management would exactly like
it. Okay, then just vermouth. We'll call you when we want another one.
Yes, sir.
Now, Rocky. Barney, you fool. Don't you ever call me that again. Call me Kilton. Sorry, but it's tough.
Rocky Harrison. Oh, it was luck, dumb luck. He'd been in there alone three nights running, but believe me, I hadn't recognized him, wouldn't have recognized him now if his pal there at the table hadn't slipped up and called him by name. Since probation, he disappeared for only one reason, to change his appearance completely. He'd grown a beard, a full head of hair, and he bleached it almost white. He'd put on 20 or 25 pounds, had his buck teeth fixed, and it made a big difference. What's more, of course, I hadn't seen him since he'd been sent up the river. As for his pal, Rocky had called him Barney. Sure. Bernard Little, one of the cleverest big-time fences the NYPD had ever known about, on whom they'd been able to pin absolutely nothing. Sure, it was a natural. Rocky had the jewels stashed away somewhere. Barney knew it and was willing to recut them and fence them out for him. Maybe if I was real lucky, I could nail them both. During their meal, I stayed close to them as much as possible, but it got me nowhere. Whenever I was in hearing, their conversation was meaningless.
That's right, Barney. Just tell him that Edward Tilton said it.
Of course, Mr. Tilton.
be glad to use your name. I'm certain they'll do all right by you.
More, they were both trying to make it oh so plain that Rocky's name was Edward Tilton. And I wondered, had Rocky by any chance seen through this corny disguise of mine? But apparently not.
Okay, waiter, here you are.
Thank you, sir. I'll have you change in a minute.
It's all right, boy. You can keep the change.
Thanks very much, sir.
Well, shall we get up? Shall we leave, Mr. Tilson? Now, already. I'd like to look up the owner and compliment him on his chef.
Why not? Good dinner, wasn't it, Tilson?
Excellent. Now, if we can find the owner's office.
If they could find the owner's office, they made a beeline for it. And that told me something else. The owner, Pete Monister, had been away when I was hired. Now he was back in town. And he probably knew more about Rocky, more about the jewels, than he'd ever admitted to the police. I wished I'd planted a bug in Monister's office, like to hear what went on in there. But I hadn't, so I couldn't. Instead, I cleared off the table, and since my hitch for the night was over, I went back into the locker room and changed into my street clothes. As I was about to leave...
Don't bother, buddy. Your name's Willie, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Willie Pagano.
My name's Pete Monister. I own this joint. I've been away a couple of weeks.
Oh. How are you, sir, Mr. Monister?
Here's your pay and a few bucks severance.
You beat up fired?
That's right.
I done something wrong, Mr.?
No, it's just that we got enough waiters without you. Shouldn't have hired anybody while I was gone anyway. Just go on out by the back way.
Well, sure, sir. But if I thought I'd done something wrong,
no
I could...
No, just don't need you. That door will tie you open until you get another job.
I didn't. Not at the moment. Not until I left by the back door and started out through the long, dark alley.
Just a minute.
Huh?
You're the waiter we had tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
You made a real good waiter. Real good, see?
So?
So I got something for you, Dollar. Here.
Oh, no.
All right, now, Dollar. You think I'm going to leave you alive?
No, Rocky, put that thing away. Then. No, you don't bring the cops.
It's all right, Barney. I'm just going to use the butt of it like this.
I vaguely remember something crashing down on my head. And if you think people don't see stars, you're wrong. Heck. Conscious, I braced myself for another blow, but it never came. Instead of crazy mixture of sounds, noises, a lot of footsteps, a barrage of gunfire, sirens, a lot of cars breaking to a stop, only it was all like in a dream. I came to the next morning and I found myself in a hospital bed, a doctor leaning over me with a hypo in his hand. Then, sometime later...
Well, looks like the doctor was right, doesn't it?
Randy.
Yeah, a slug of something to make you sleep for a while really worked. You're going to be okay, except maybe for a big head.
Randy Singer.
Lieutenant Singer to you, Buster. Son of a gun, Johnny. What are you going to learn to let me know when you're working around this town, huh?
Was it you came along?
That's right, like the U.S. Marines.
Well, how did you know they were going to waylay me there in that alley?
I didn't. I hadn't the least idea. Didn't even know it was you they were jumping. You and that crazy getup, that black hair and the mustache and those thick glasses.
Then I don't understand, Randy.
Johnny, I've had a bunch of the boys on Rocky Harrison for over a week.
You have?
Sure, ever since that stooly whiskey soder told me about him being in town. It was you told me where to look for him.
I? When?
7 years ago. The first time you found him in a purple hat. So we've been tailing him for days.
Well, if I'd have known that...
You think you're the only one that thought he might sometime lead us to those jewels?
You found him, Randy?
No, and now, thanks to you, it looks like we may as well give up.
What do you mean, thanks to me?
Now, you just stay in bed. When the boys saw what was happening there in the alley, they moved in.
Yeah?
When Rocky and Barney started throwing lead, well, the boys kind of thought they'd better answer back. So, Rocky and Barney are dead. So now, how are we going to find out where those diamonds are stashed away, huh?
Do you know where Rocky was living?
Sure, we've been all through his place and Barney Little's place. Nothing. Since we don't know of anybody else who might have been in with him.
Oh, you don't, huh?
What do you mean, Johnny?
Well, Randy, I've suddenly got a crazy idea that maybe I can bluff my way into finding those jewels.
You what?
Come on, help me get into my clothes. You.
Johnny Dollar, Pete, as if you didn't know.
Just a minute. Dollar, did you say?
That's right.
Well, there's something a little familiar about you.
Oh, come off it, Pete.
Now, waiter. Oh, that stupid waiter I fired last night.
Rocky Harrison told you who I was. If you're wondering how I know that, just look at that bug fastened to the underside of your desk.
A bug? A microphone? Why, I don't believe it.
Hold it, Pete. You try opening one of those drawers, reaching for a gun, I pull this finger. I also heard them tell you when to let me go out into that dark alley.
Oh, look, how was I to know what they wanted you out there for?
I also heard enough to know where the only jewels are. Open up that safe, Pete.
Oh, yeah?
Open it.
You crazy. Oh, listen, Dollar, put down that gun
open
for a minute.
Open it up.
Oh, look, maybe we can make a deal.
Seven years of hunting for him, Pete. So it's become an obsession with me. Maybe it has made me a little crazy.
Now, listen,
yeah, I was
you
crazy
and I...
enough to put on that phony disguise to get into this place to find Rocky Harrison.
Listen, Dolly,
all
you
right,
and I can
all
make
right.
A deal.
So I'm crazy enough to blast you down and blow that safe if I have to. You understand that? And there's nothing, you or anything else, that's going to keep me from getting those jewels. First you go.
No.
Yes.
You mean it.
Oh, yeah, Pete, I mean it. Well,
okay, Dollar. I'll get you the rocks.
The fee on this one for recovery of the diamonds? Well, maybe the department frowns on such things, but half of the check goes to Lieutenant Randy Singer, NYPD. Good man, good friend. Expense account total, including the ride back to Hartford... Well, it just about balances with what I made on my job as a waiter. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
This is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, Johnny took quite a while to get into disguise, but I guess when you're going up against the man who waits, you can afford to wait a while. I have noticed that when actors take on a role for quite a while, they welcome the opportunity to play their character playing some other sort of character. It kind of gives them a chance to stretch their acting muscles, and Bob Bailey does that here and does a pretty good job creating this voice. I've listened to a lot of Bob Bailey's roles and hadn't had him playing a punch-drunk character before. And he handles it pretty well. He must be fairly content in the role because he doesn't do that too often on Johnny Dollar. When you get into the final days of Basil Rathbone and Sherlock Holmes, he was playing other sorts of characters all the time. Overall, this was a pretty good episode. This is one that I kind of wish they'd had more time to develop and flesh out because there were some interesting moments and really some good opportunity for some more hard-boiled turns for Johnny Dollar. All right, listener comments and feedback now. Joanne writes in, I wanted to send a message to let you know that the loss of the videos would be awful. I use the app, not the podcast and not YouTube. I do not use any social media. And no, I'm not 70. It's just an incredible waste of time. You cited on the future of great detectives that the videos do not get many likes on social media. We're not all on social media. Please don't make a decision about the videos based on that. The videos are an essential part of the app. If you must make the change, please make it available through the app and not the YouTube quality of your video is much better than most anything I've ever watched on YouTube, not to mention that YouTube has a lot of questionable content, and I consider your app family-friendly. Well, thanks so much. Joanne, I guess, first of all, the concern or what I said about the likes on social media, I get that not everyone uses social media. Certainly, not everyone who listens to the show engages with it on social media. We have around 18,000 listeners, depending on average, to each episode. And we only have about 5,800 people who've liked the show on Facebook and about 800 who have followed the show on Twitter. However, that's kind of a sample size, is the way that I look at it. And I'm seeing a lot more engagement on the old-time radio than on the video. That's kind of telling me something. I definitely appreciate where you're coming from. And as I've said, we're going to make video available. It's just not going to be the whole archive. At this point, I'm not convinced that I can safely provide folks the old-time radio programs they depend on every single day if I try and host 105 really large videos, with more being added every or twice a month. I do think that I can provide 4 or 5 videos at a time and continuing to add 2 additional videos per month. And if I come to the conclusion based on more listener feedback that we can, there's a desire for it to do more videos, and there's also more funding available to make the storage and retrieval of that work and not be something that's going to crash the old-time radio portion of the site, I will certainly consider expanding as much as possible. And if you don't have social media, you do have a voice in the show, just always feel free to email us at box13@greatdetectives.net. All right, thanks so much for the comment. I do appreciate it. That will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Dragnet. Next Friday, another episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.